Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. He's Seth Payne.
Time for the Pettycast, Sean. It is time. That this isn't, this is usually Sean Pendergast Dojo. So this is the Pettycast, loosely defined. We just celebrate the pettiness in the sports world, and including sometimes what we're feeling petty about, or sometimes we just admire pettiness from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy this type of stuff. Pablo Torre has been the guy who's kind of been leading the charge and doing a lot of the hard-hitting investigation into Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
All of it,
which,
yeah,
weirdly and oddly, is a sports topic because of her involvement with the UNC football program and everything else. And yet, it feels a little bit frivolous at times. And Sean and I dabble in that frivolity. But Bill Simmons, on one of his podcasts, basically he was reviewing an old movie. I can't remember which one, some old sports movie. And part of the conversation come up where apparently there was a journalist in this movie. And Bill Simmons took it as an opportunity to criticize Pablo Torre's coverage of the Bill Belichick girlfriend situation.
Pablo Torre would have done a long podcast about Leo Farnsworth trying to practice with the team and then done a media tour about it afterwards.
Guy, bro. I've never seen anybody dine on the stupider story for a week and a half while pretending you're a journalist. What the f was that?
Whoa!
Seriously.
What the
f dating a girl? Oh, let me do 9 shows about it.
I can't tell. Are you
settle the f down?
If this was about Jeffrey Lurie, though, would you be like, we gotta get Pablo Torre on my
thing, right? Like, why are you getting
right? You don't need to do media tour.
It was
about
a story that everybody was talking
That's fine.
About to be fair.
Maybe do 2 shows about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, okay, so this is a problem. I get it. I get criticizing Pablo Torre for going full bore into this and all, but like Bill Simmons' entire career has been forged on humorously talking about nonsensical stuff
yeah.
at times. Like, but I don't need to hear Bill Simmons criticizing somebody for really attacking a story or like blowing something up or anything. Pablo Torre responded and says, since you have such a strong public opinion about my work, I happen to have a few questions for you, specifically. Unless you're afraid of Pablo Torre and someone just pretending to be a journalist, of course. I haven't seen whether there's been an invitation. I feel like this is going to end up in the situation where everybody feels filthy about it, which is, oh, these guys use this as an opportunity to talk about, to get a bunch of clicks for talking about whether people should be clicking on what we're talking about
you
or not.
You talk about, like, the pot calling the kettle black, you know,
yeah.
Bill Simmons having a problem with Pablo Torre. It's, whoever said there, you know, everybody was talking about this for weeks is not wrong. Whoever just said that in that clip that we played, it's not wrong. And so you're going to go all in and trying to find out every possible thing you can about Belichick, who was maybe one of the most topical media personalities at the time, too, doing his book tour. I mean, it raised really good questions that, unfortunately for the rest of us, he was not even really asked about or certainly right. didn't answer.
Yeah. Well, no, and Pablo Torre was doing the, he was investigating the story, and it's not like, I mean, Pablo Torre is being asked to come on all these other podcasts and shows to talk about it, and it's doing everything that Bill Simmons would do in the same situation, except it's his beloved, it's Bill Simmons' beloved Bill Belichick. That's where it's fraudulent and hypocritical, is that what Bill Simmons is really upset about is that somebody is investigating a Bill Belichick story in which Bill Belichick doesn't come out looking all that pretty.
I forgot too. Today's June 3rd. You know what that means, right?
$1 million. Bill Belichick could buy himself out for $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, June 1st was the date that it went from $10 million to $1 million buyout. Yeah. So it's been 2 days, and Bill Belichick is still very much the head coach at UNC.
He ain't going nowhere. Yeah. No, Bill Simmons criticizing the media for not sticking to the more serious stuff. It feels like Jar Jar Binks addressing the whatever the Universal Congress or whatever he did there. Like, get out of my face, Jar Jar Binks, with your demand for seriousness. Okay. This is something that I feel like a lot of Houston fans might be feeling petty about in a good way. Like they might be sanctimoniously enjoying this. This, as we've already discussed yesterday and today, is Scott Zolak, former New England quarterback and currently color commentator for the Patriots, but who also has a daily radio show up there in Boston, talking about the possibility of Stephon Diggs getting cut by the Patriots.
Do you think Diggs should be cut?
Do I think he should be cut?
Yeah, you.
No, I don't.
I do not.
I came to this show yesterday with the opinion, not opinion, but the knowledge of that it is on the table. That it is being thought of. And it's not just the boat. It's not just the boat. There's some other things that I've heard. That's all. That puts some things in question. Are you all in? Are you all in here?
Are you all in? Mm. I love this that the Texans might finally be the one that's screwing over the Patriots. After all these years of the Texans trying to copy and emulate or take players from the Patriots that did well with Tom Brady but weren't going to do well with anybody else.
Yeah.
I love that Stephon Diggs was on his best behavior while he was here. Nobody ever doubted or questioned whether he was all in. We didn't have any sketchy boat pink powder substance type issues like they have up there. And the all-in part, that was never really a concern. He was the consummate professional. And now, New England, which has been on this long and steady hangover from their glory days, might just be in a... Because remember, if they don't have Stephon Diggs, even if... Look, I don't think they're going to cut Stephon Diggs. And for those of you who are wondering, there's a potential way they could do it where they could void his guaranteed money. That's how it's even possible. But even if he's there, but not all in... And Matt Collins is the other receiving threat on that team with your young second-year quarterback.
Yeah.
I have a hard time thinking that Drake May is going to take giant leaps forward. And remember, Stephon Diggs is also coming off an ACL at the age of 32. So I'm personally petty about this and enjoying every minute of it.
I mean, I'm enjoying it too. That was one of my first thoughts, is maybe the Texans, you know, just kind of escaped absolute disaster. But you remember... I brought this up with PC the other day, and he didn't recall this. When Stephon Diggs was a Texan in the first time that we got a chance to talk to him in the locker room last year, there was a big topic outside of football that we needed to ask him about. And we fielded, I think he fielded like maybe one question about it and poo-pooed it. Do you remember the allegations brought against him in that counter lawsuit situation where it was like some chick that was a basketball wife or whatever, like she was suing him for sex abuse and yada, yada, yada. And then he was suing her back for like
abuse. It was that he had, it was some kind of physical violence. Yeah. And he was counter suing her for
like physical assault as well. Like he said that she punched him in the chest or something like that.
But it was a civil, suit. It wasn't a criminal matter, but we haven't really seen anything about it.
Right.
And that, the part where Zolak said the all-in part, it made me wonder if I think this is probably, because the Patriots would have known about the civil suit, obviously.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if just even in the way he's approaching his rehab or whatever else it might be. Who knows?
I only bring it up because it's another thing that compounds. You know, there's the injury. There's something else that's taking his, attention away from football. And now there's the boat and the drugs. I think it's more about that than what that piece of audio from Zolak would lead you to believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. This is where the college coaches come in. Sean Pendergast loves college basketball coaches flipping out. But man, boy, college, come playoffs time, the college baseball coaches, they are putting in a strong run. Yeah. Because Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, I was not all that happy to talk to the media after they lost to Louisville in the NCAA tournament. And it set up a situation where they're out. but this was Tim Corbin. And there are a couple long stretches of silence here as he fields multiple questions from the media. Just enjoy the tenseness of the silence here as Tim Corbin basically lashes out at everybody.
Does the potential for a second game tomorrow affect your decision as to how you go about your...
I don't give a rat's ass about a second game. All I care about is Wright State. That's it.
But, Tim, what was the issue with the offense today?
No, we didn't score enough runs. Issue?
Yeah,
human?
It was so different from the last couple weeks when...
You play playoff baseball, Aria? I mean, it's tough pitching on both sides. I mean, we're pitching hard. They're pitching hard. Two good teams. You realize that, right? These are good pitchers on the mound. These are battles. We just didn't win the battle. Don't go searching for like a lot of ancillary bullshit. It's just we didn't get the hit.
I agree with everything you said there, but I felt like he went over the top and said, is when he said, you play in baseball, playoff baseball, Aria? You don't know what it's like. All right.
Settle
down, Turbo. Right. Oh. She didn't ask the question in a way that was negative at all. She just asked what happened, which, right, it is baseball. Sometimes it's really hard to hit against good pitching. But he took that as if she was saying, I can't believe you guys didn't score any runs against good pitching.
Yeah.
And yet I celebrate the pettiness and the raw emotion.
I hate when coaches and players ask media members these types of questions back. Like, do you know what it's like to play playoff baseball?
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to hit these baseball? You know, it reminds me of Greg Doyle. You know Greg Doyle? I don't know who he writes for now. It used to be CBS Sports. But did you see the post-game interaction between him and Pascal Siakam the other day?
No.
He asked Pascal Siakam, well, I should say this. Pascal Siakam, in a response to another question, said, yeah, they just played harder than us, talking about the Knicks. And then Doyle goes, well, why do you think they played harder than you? And Siakam's basically like, what do you mean? You saw it. Like, they just played harder than us. Like, who is this guy? What's your name, bro? You know, and tried to make Doyle feel like a dumbass, but he might have very well been a dumbass because he was probing and probing. Well, how can you say like they played harder than you? How is that even possible?
Because Doyle was in Indianapolis for a long time. I think with Doyle, it's a little bit different because I think he either in the relentlessness with which he asked questions or just the way he frames sometimes, he does get underneath people's skin.
Oh, he does nothing but press buttons, yeah.
I've tried to role play with that before, and I thought, if he's interviewing me, I would be on the petty cast at some point. I'm like, all right, dude, where are you getting to with that? So Tim Corbin answered that question from that reporter who just couldn't have sounded more polite. I felt like he treated her like she was Tim Doyle or something. But I celebrate the raw emotion.
Yeah.
More baseball.
Yes.
Coastal Carolina coach Kevin Schnall was Coastal Carolina was hosting the tournament and their regional. And the Kevin O'Sullivan, the coach of Florida, apparently because his game was rescheduled, was just ripping into uh, the the grounds crew, the coordinators on site, all of these people, these Coastal Carolina employees who are helping run the tournament. Kevin Schnell felt the need to really stick up for those guys in his press conference.
It's not okay. And this needs to be brought up. Absolutely disrespectful. As a coach, it's our job to mentor young kids. And the way he treated the two site reps, the way he treated our associate AD, the way he treated our field crew, is absolutely unacceptable. And I'm really, that's what I'm most disappointed about. This is a national champion coach who thinks he can come in here and try to bully people around. Disappointed. Disappointed somebody that a lot of coaches look up to. For him to act that way, really disappointed.
Yeah, just the big
old... He's spot on, man. I'm sure you saw the video. I'm glad you brought this up because Kevin O'Sullivan, for like 30 seconds in this video, was just ripping the on-site field manager to shreds. And I was watching less of O'Sullivan and more of the on-site manager because at one point the on-site manager puts both hands on his hips and it kind of leans one way and is like, yeah, when are you going to shut up, old man? You know, like, let's move this along. I mean, he was arguing with this guy like he was a home plate umpire arguing balls and strikes. Was just relentless.
Those, I saw in some of the replies people pointing out, like, you know, those site managers can be kind of pains in the ass. Sticking up for Kevin O'Sullivan, originally from downstate New York, if I remember correctly. So that makes sense. There's anywhere in the New York City region or what have you. He was playing out the stereotype. Like he thought he was arguing with a taxi driver or something.
Yeah, exactly. It was a great video, though. College baseball this time of year is very, very exciting. All right, that's PettyCast, Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, along with Seth Payne. Coming up next, speaking of Petty, we've got to discuss Deion Sanders, who recently addressed all of the pre-draft hit pieces on his son, Shador, that he was subject to. We'll have that for you next at Sports Radio 610.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, not Seth Payne. Seth is here with
me if you want. I'll take the next hour and a half off.
No, I'm glad you're here.
I'm not. If you think I'm afraid to not work the next hour and a half, you don't know me, bro.
Yeah, don't take off because Pendergast ain't back yet. I saw, by the way, he posted a picture of him at Fenway Park yesterday evening. I guess he is doing the tour of the ballparks.
I can't even keep up with it. When he and Amy go on vacation, they do about 8 times as many things as I can physically do even when I'm at home. So, yeah, they've done like 19 different things already, but they were at Fenway Park. He was wearing an Astros jersey.
I can't keep track. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not the hatred for the Astros in Boston that there is in New York. So definitely. Especially with the common ties with the manager and everything else, like I doubt he got. Even though Bostonians are just as angry as New Yorkers, I doubt he got harassed as much as if he had gone to a Yankees game wearing an Astros jersey.
Yeah, fair. Well, you know, they're saying thank you to Sean because they now have Alex Bregman over there as well, and he's doing some really good things for them.
I'm unaware of any such thing. I don't know what you're talking about. Certainly we didn't spend the first 3 weeks of the Major League Baseball season talking about how good Alex Bregman is doing.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that anymore. Tip the cap and move on. So Deion Sanders finally addressed the pre-draft hatred, the hit pieces, the reports, all of it that his son Shador mainly fielded. You know, he mentioned Shiloh and some of this too. But
Shiloh was curiously left out of the when people would make arguments for how the funniest thing about this is, okay, so Shador, obviously, like, that's a whole separate conversation. But when people would try to say, look, his father's a Hall of Famer. He's got the genetics for it. How could you not draft him? Like, his son with those same genetics who plays the position
exactly that
Deion played, the genetics aren't an argument for him being a good prospect. So let's can the whole lineage argument as far as why a guy will or will not be any good.
Yes, good point. Good point.
Yeah, nobody was. There's no campaign to show how Shiloh was wronged or anything. It's Shador. It's Shador because of the
quarterback,
the projections of where he would go, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
yes,
quarterback, man. Deion Sanders was on Asante Samuel's "Say What Needs to Be Said" podcast. I actually went and looked at some previous interviews that Asante Samuel did, and some of his takes. It's pretty good. He's probably going to end up getting more stuff and be more publicized, I would imagine, after this interview with Deion Sanders. Because
he might. My advice to him would be just stick with your podcast, bro.
it might not be a bad idea.
No, that's what I mean. Like, you can hit it big with the podcast. Where, like Jason and Travis Kelce are supposedly in line, or they already did. They're going to sell their podcast for a lot of money.
I heard that. Yeah, and I don't remember the figure, but it was
tens of millions of dollars.
It was. Asante's probably get a little ways to go. I mean, he's him, and they're the Kelces. But Sanders, kind of opened up, and he was asked initially about how hearing all of these things, reading all of these things about Shador made him feel. And I've got three really good quotes here from Sanders about three totally different aspects of this, and I'll read them for you. He said, first, quote, "It hurt, but the Bible says God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. There was some foolish stuff that went on, but that gave them something that they needed, that edge that Tom had," talking about Tom Brady. He continued, it says, "It gave them the edge that you had. It gave them the edge that I have. Folks said we weren't going to be nothing, but we had to prove that. It gave them the edge that they needed, both of them," end quote from Deion Sanders. I actually love this in that that's how that he chooses, and I would assume and hope that they would choose to kind of go forward, having dealt with all this criticism. It gives them the edge, and we know the story behind Tom Brady and countless others, the naysayers, the critics, the you'll never do nothing, blah, blah, blah. I like that. I think that's important, but here's my question for you. being a former player, and you know, either you yourself or having played with or against guys that have fielded, you know, kind of this criticism and maybe had doubters going into the league, you're either built for this or you're not. Do you think that these guys coming from which they have in the light of Deion are actually built for this?
There's no way to know until you find out that, and in Shiloh, there was no scrutiny of Shiloh. So like, he's not even in the conversation. I think that, with Shedeur Sanders, he is a guy who's had his father with him throughout his high school and college career. And in some ways that might've worked to his detriment. I think in some ways it was very much a positive in that when Deion says, hey, now they've got that edge or they've got that chip on their shoulder, Shedeur wasn't one of the top QB recruits coming out of high school. He might have, if he had gone to, he had pulled from Florida State, right? He had pulled out of Florida
State. I
believe
so, yeah.
When they went to Jackson State. Like, he might have really had to earn his spot there without his dad around, but he ends up going to Jackson State doing very well. And like, so he did, just by going to Colorado and doing what he did at Colorado, I feel like he did overcome some adversity in terms of not being a highly regarded quarterback, being one of the more highly regarded quarterbacks in this draft class. So, like, he's already done that. I think the huge question is just, all right, can you do it without your dad by your side?
Yeah.
And that's what we just don't know about. So far, the reports out of Cleveland have all been great and good. The notion that somehow the scrutiny was unfair or that some of the articles that were written were unfair, I feel like that's a little Southern Belle. Like, that's where, like, I don't know why everybody's paying so much attention to us. Like, because you've, like, as Deion himself cites in this interview, they had TV shows about them while they were in high school.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you invite all this, and then Shedeur threw his offensive line under the bus, just, like, swatted the ball away from that ball boy. Like,
other
all these
players,
other
too.
Things that,
other yeah. former teammates he threw under the bus, too, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not like all of this was just, like they had no role in any of this. That part of it, like, I'm not here for Deion Sanders acting like he's the victim and the sympathetic figure in all of this. Like, we've seen this time and time and time again. There are enough things reported that the easiest thing to do when there's a draft prospect and people are reporting things about you and there's multiple things all over the place, they try to act like they're the victim and this is a media onslaught and a media campaign. All right, well, they're only doing it about you. And then more times than not, a lot of it ends up being just justified in some respect. That where there's smoke, there's some kind of fire. How big is the fire?
Well,
but having said all that, yeah, I'm very open to that Shedeur on his own and having his ego checked a little bit and also having upside and talent as a football player might defy a lot of expectations.
You talking about the reporting, I've always wondered, and this is the question that I think a lot of people are wondering too, is how solid was the reporting that, you know, said Deion Sanders or Shedeur Sanders rather went to that New York Giants interview with headphones on and was like not professional and was really immature and not in it. Deion Sanders was asked about that by Asante Samuel, and he'd said, quote, when you sit up there and say something like he went into a meeting unprepared, like, dude, Shedeur Sanders, who has had six different coordinators, who has still functioned and leveled up every time we brought somebody new in, and you're going to tell me he was unprepared? He went on to say, you're going to tell me he had on headphones? Anybody who knows my son understands he's a professional. You got to understand my kids are built for everything. We've always been in front of the camera, and there's the part that you're talking about. So they know how to navigate. They know how to handle themselves. You're not going to catch them in no foolery or no mess. You're not going to do that whatsoever, end quote.
Yeah. I don't know. It just, there are so many reports from the combine about teams or quotes from albeit anonymous scouts or whatever that said that it was just that he had some really bad meetings. This goes back to, all right, Shedeur has always had his dad around in so many of these in football environments. No parent genuinely knows how his kid is operating. And sometimes, I mean, Deion sounds a lot like a lot of parents when called into the principal's office, and the parent says, there's no way my son did that. And the principal says, well, here's the video footage of him dumping his the poor nerd in the cafeteria's food on top of his head. So no, your son totally did that. So I don't like I admire that Dion believes that his son would never act in such a way, but he's also never been away from daddy before. So we don't know how he's going to act when he's away from daddy.
Yeah, I tend to not want to believe that because it's so unbelievable. Yet there's the narrative that going into the draft, he doesn't want to play and his dad will not allow him to play for particular teams. So did they purposely tank like these interviews? I could see that, but then I could also hear maybe other teams kind of put these things out in effort to make him slide to where they could grab him.
Well, yeah, but okay, if one of those teams did that, do you think they would have waited and thought, well, maybe he slides to the sixth round, maybe he slides to the seventh round? That's where the part, if a team was going to do that to try to be sure that he slid out of the first round or something, they would have plucked him up in the second or third round. I think that's the big part there. The other part, though, too, honestly, I'm very intrigued by Shedeur Sanders. I'll give you an example from history. George Patton, badass American general. His mom came to live in West Point while he was at the military academy because Patton didn't do so great his freshman year. Like, he was you could say he was mollycoddled or something. Like, he ends up being a pretty badass of a dude historically. So it's like there's nothing to say that this is a barrier to Shedeur Sanders doing well. But whenever they brought up his record at Colorado as if Colorado had accomplished great things, that kind of annoys and bothers me because, yes, they vastly improved the team, but it wasn't like they won championships or won a bowl game or anything like that. And people will bring up, well, Shedeur Sanders, the all-time pass completion percentage leader. Great. You know who he displaced? Tell me. Colt Brennan. Colt Brennan displace? Colt McCoy. Oh, sorry. Colt McCoy almost got Colt Brennan. Then Kellen Moore, Graham Harrell, Grayson McCall, Will Rogers, Brandon Whedon, Case Keenum, respect the case, Chase Holbrook, you go down to, before there's actually a viable NFL quarterback, it's 12th on the all-time completion percentage leaders in Joe Burrow. So like this, bringing up the college record as if they'd actually accomplished some great thing, that annoys the hell out of me. Like it just, it's admirable that they turn. It's 100% admirable that they turn that program around, but there's just that part of it makes me nervous. In that I don't know where Shedeur is getting in his head that the standard is to go to a bowl game and get destroyed, and that somehow you've proven something there.
Yeah.
Like, no, you haven't proven anything yet. You haven't played a snap in the NFL.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this situation unfolds in Cleveland. The quarterback watch is something maybe you should follow on Twitter as well. It's kind of fun. We've been there, done that before. Coming up next, does this retirement for one Texan clear a way for a rookie? We'll discuss next at Sports Radio 610.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Alongside Seth Payne, I'm Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast. Like to text in the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Appreciate all of those joining us on Twitch and YouTube this morning. We told you earlier about retirement. Ronald Darby telling the Texans that he's going to retire. And that was first reported by Aaron Wilson of KPRC Local 2, nixing the one-year, $2.5 million deal that he'd signed earlier this offseason. According to reports, a source said that it was, quote, totally unexpected. Now, we said earlier, it's like, man, I don't even mention Darby when you talk about, like, the secondary. And it's so
true. It was
true.
Unexpected, especially in that I never actually thought to consider whether or not Ronald Darby was going to retire or remind myself that, yeah, Ronald Darby is on this team.
Yeah. But I asked the question, you know, does his retirement clear the way for a Texans rookie? And I ask because Aaron Wilson, you know, had wrote in his reporting yesterday, quote, the Texans are well stocked at corner with the presence of all-pro selection Derek Stingley Jr. as well as returning starter Kamari Lassiter. And they drafted versatile USC corner Jalen Smith in the third round. The Texans are pleased with Smith's early development and envision a solid role for him. You know, you look at the depth chart, Seth, are you as confident in the depth without Ronald Darby just at the cornerback position right now with Stingley, with Lassiter? Because beyond those two,
right,
it's Tremont Smith, who this is what, his second, maybe third iteration with the Texans coming from Denver. Now you add Jalen Smith, that third-round rookie. Beyond him, it's D'Angelo Ross and Kedron Callaghan. Do you need to be deeper at that position? How do you feel about it at this point?
I think that they would have more veteran experience back there, because at the very least you want somebody that can come in and play the scheme and be okay with it and cool with it. And Tremont Smith's now had a few years, but I like the more veterans as possible. Now, last year, it didn't necessarily work out because, gosh, both of the failed first-round picks that were in camp, Okuda and I'm blanking on
yeah,
the other one.
Yeah, Okuda's like, the only one I can remember, too.
I think there are guys out there. Look, Ronald Darby was on a one-year, $2 million contract. It's not like all of a sudden this was some part of the key linchpins of success for the Texans this year. I'm guessing that, yeah, there's a chance they replace Ronald Darby with some other veteran type of guy who's either still out there, or you trade a sixth-round pick for him, or you pick him off of waivers during training camp. The biggest part, I guess, where it becomes a concern is that, man, last year was the first time that Derek Stingley played an entire NFL season. And it was the first time he had a healthy season in college or in the NFL since 2019. And I don't want to just kind of whistle past the potential issue of a guy that might, you know, have injuries again in the future, just given his history. So one of the big X factors is, okay, how does Jalen Smith factor into all of this, a third round pick? And I think I would look at Jalen Smith as a guy. It's funny. I don't know. The first time I learned of Jalen Smith, I went and watched his highlight reel from USC.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever seen a defensive back where, like, the first 15 highlights were all tackles for a loss, blitzes, things like this. It was stuff in the run game and or sacking the quarterback as part of a blitz more so than the actual coverage skill. So I, you know, and he's really good at press man, but also in college you get away with a lot more handsiness.
Right.
So I don't like if I had to stick him on an island on the outside in week one because somebody was injured, I'd be really skeptical of that. I see what they see in him, and I think yes, I could totally understand. He was drafted appropriately, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not. It's not like I feel like, oh yeah, this is a slam dunk. This is the steal of the draft, and he can go out there in week one.
Texter said C.J. Henderson. That was the other guy that we were trying to think of. Yeah. You know, the Texans, I feel like, have had a pretty good success rate in terms of early playing time, early opportunity for rookies. And that's probably been more the case over the course of the last 3 years, really, since, you know, they started a rebuild and become competitive. So maybe it's kind of obvious, but I also think, you know, you have to give them credit for having the eye for the talent and the ability to go out and get guys that they know can come in, learn a system, and be effective right away. In the secondary, maybe some guys that we don't, you know, give enough credit to. When you think of the defense, you know, it's D'Amico Ryans. And hey, look, that's his baby, but you know, they're position coaches and certainly guys like, you know, Dino Vasso and, I forget their cornerbacks coach. They've been there for a couple of years and they've coached these guys up and they've gotten pretty damn good early return on them. So the idea that Jalen Smith, you know, needs to come in right away or, you know, in a lesser role behind Lassiter and Stingley could be productive. It's not crazy. I'm with you, though. I would like a more veteran presence back there just on second thought because I do feel good about the secondary in general, but we know injuries can happen. And
yeah.
Derek Stingley, I don't know that we've all reached a point yet where, hey, let's pencil this guy in for 17 games and you feel great about it.
Well, and I think that is one part. This is what the development that I don't think I've seen or heard a lot of people talk about this, but that I would love if this ends up being the case. If you look at the Chiefs have been able to withstand departures from their secondary because they've drafted well, but also coached those guys up really well as well. So, the Chiefs feel confident that, all right, we can coach these guys up, we can get them playing, and they've done a great job of it. The Chiefs, they've ridden that defense for a couple of years now. And I think the fact that you had that secondary last year where Kamari Lassiter came in very polished by rookie standards. Kalen Bullock was not polished whatsoever. And he improved a lot as the year went along. But he still has improving to do. Like, he's not a finished product yet, but the upside is, right, like, you saw the playmaking ability. You saw the improvement over the course of the season. A lot of his upside might just be simply getting on the jugs machine and coming down with some of these near interceptions that he's gotten. But like Dino Vasso, the cornerbacks coach, and Adegoke, the
yes.
safety coach,
yes,
they've that's it, a lot of that I think is on them. You have to give them credit when you have a secondary that's got two rookies starting the entire season or for most of the season, and you end up being the unit that they became. It's tempting to think, oh, yep, here you go, best defensive backfield in the league. You got to be careful with that. Like as Matt Burke said the other day. The three most dangerous words in the language are "I got it." Like, just don't think they're like, okay, that's what we did last year. We're all set. We're good to go. Let's work on it. Like, no, it's always back to basics.
I know, but it on paper, Seth, it's hard to not look at this defense and say, "Wow, a defense that finished top six in the NFL last year and saw as much production as they did in the secondary alone. How are they not better?" Right
they were
now?
Okay. They were not. They were top six in yardage, which is a bogus stat. They were 15th or 16th in points allowed. So,
and points allowed,
the first thing when I say that is people say, well, they didn't get help from the offense. No, that's part of it. But part of it was that they were one of the worst in the league at allowing big chunk plays and long True. Touchdown yeah. passes. And a lot of that is a testament to how young they were in the secondary. So, there's a lot of like the simple advanced stat of allowing fewer points. It is a real thing. Like they have a lot of playmakers. That's true. And they did a great job with that. But they weren't a consistently sound defense last year. That's the next step they have to take to where they're a genuinely elite defense. And yes, also get some help from the offense because part of that is they get put in a position where they're having to be on the field or defend as much as they did. You're gonna end up letting a few slip through the screen at times.
Yeah.
So So I'm intrigued by it, but I'm still like you got to maintain that level of vigilance that, man, just because it was promising last year, just because Kalen Bullock made a lot of improvement, doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, and realistically, Jalen Petrie did some really good things, but man, like there's some liabilities with Jalen Petrie when he's out there in man coverage, and teams are spending the offseason looking at that and figuring that out. So there's still, I think they could be one of the better defensive backfields in the league, but there's still things that they need to hammer out if they want to be genuinely elite.
I think both can be true though, too. And what you just said that, hey, they gave up a lot of big plays last year. Yeah, sure, they did. But I wonder how many of those big plays, too, you know, came after a missed tackle. Like, the missed tackles, it was, to memory, a little less prevalent last season than it was the year prior to that. And you mentioned Jalen Petrie. That's something I feel like he's gotten a little bit better at. I don't know if the numbers prove it out, but, you know, I think I told you this earlier. Like, the eye test, it looked like he was in better position. It looked like he was more comfortable and had more success.
But when you end up with Jalen Petrie one-on-one versus Davante Adams without safety help over the top, he's going to get dusted at times. And we saw that in training camp last year. I was skeptical that they were going to use Jalen Petrie in the slot as much as they were during training camp because he was getting destroyed in man coverage in training camp. And, like, physically, anatomically, he's not a cornerback. He is a safety/linebacker. That's where it comes to DeMeco and Matt Burke and kind of balancing out. Like, I don't expect him to ever be as good in coverage as an elite nickelback. Like, he is a nickel. He's a nickelback. Like, he's a nickel linebacker more so than he is a nickelback. And you just got to manage that in some ways. And at times, when you have a deeper secondary and you have more actual cornerbacks on the team, there's times where you'd rather have a cornerback playing slot corner than that's what I should have said. He's not a slot corner. He's a nickelback. You know, there's times where you want an actual slot corner there instead of Jalen Petrie covering a Davante Adams or somebody like that. In terms of missed tackles last year, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because people know I get agitated about this. They were the sixth worst team in the NFL in terms of missed tackles last year.
God bless. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good. He's Seth Payne, Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast. Final hour coming up. You know, we'll get to this. You know, we're talking about some concerns right now, maybe in the secondary. Okay, well, what else should we be a little concerned or scared of with the Texans right now as they resume their second round of OTAs? That's next at Sports Radio 610.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.